with me to the Gospel of Matthew in the 15th chapter. We'll begin our study there in just a moment. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest and encourage you to study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song. It's been suggested, and if you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized upon your faith in Jesus Christ, that He would blot out every sin and you can be added to the family of God and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew, in the 15th chapter, begin reading with me at verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" The subject of the gospel of Jesus Christ is one that never grows old. And yet it's one that many people have failed to accept. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is to go back and observe the written gospel. And understand that there are some things that have just been identified and we can read in the Word of God. We can put our finger on the passage and say, "This is what God has said." And then we'll come back and we'll talk about what we might identify as the unwritten word. And what I mean by that is unwritten creeds. You know, in the Bible, the Word of God, we say that as the people of God, that we're going to take the Bible and the Bible alone. But if one's not careful, one can start to accept a creed, or one could follow some tradition of man and make that binding where the Scripture does not bind. And what we want to make sure is we understand the difference between the written gospel and what one might prefer and what one's opinion might be, and understand that there's a great contrast. The first thing I want us to do is, when we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, is remember that it's been written down. Open your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul tells us that we have written down in verse 9 some things. Look at what he says. "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Now stop there for just a moment. Many people think Paul's talking about heaven in verse 9. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about the gospel. Paul's talking about the Word of God. And then in verse 10, it says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the thing of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him, even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Now, how do you and I know the Spirit of God tonight? Well, open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the 3rd chapter, notice, if you will, in verse 1, that Paul talks about being a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And then he says in verse 2, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation," God revealed it, "He made known to me the mystery, that which they had not previously known, but do now know, as I have briefly written already. Underscore written. And notice he says, "by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." So tonight, when I take the Bible, the Word of God, I have the revealed will of God. I have what God wants me to know. Now, I have, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, the mind of God as far as He wants me to know. There's a lot of things God could have told me that God chose not to tell me. But God has revealed to us through His Word what He wants us to know in order to be pleasing to Him. It reminds me of the words of Jesus in John 17 when He said in verse 8, I have given them to them the words which You've given me, and they've received them and have known surely that I come forth from You, and they have believed that You sent me. So I understand this much, there is but one written gospel, and that's the Bible, the Word of the living God. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul warned and Paul was marveled at how the fact that some turned away from the gospel. In verse 6, he says in chapter 1 of the Galatian letter, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And look at verse 9. He repeats that statement. He emphasizes that statement. He said there is but one gospel. This is the one with the power of God to save. And one that we ought not to be ashamed of, but be willing to contend for. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, what was it the Bible said? In Romans 1:16, Paul said that the power of God is where? In the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also the Greek. You remember what Jude wrote in that little epistle of his, and what a powerful statement he says. In the book of Jude in verse 3, he says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That word contend means to stand up. That may mean to dispute. That means that you stand, you argue, you defend the truth of God. But then I want you to think about some things that we can look and see that God has clearly written down through the inspiration of the apostles. As the Holy Spirit inspired it, they wrote it down. We see the plan of salvation has been written down. We see in Ephesians 2:8 that we're saved by the grace of God. But not only that, we see in Ephesians 1:7 we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. But not only that, we see in Ephesians 2:8 we must have faith. And we can turn to James chapter 2 and verse 17 and see that faith without works is dead. And that one must be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when I come to God, I have to come by His plan of salvation. When one is baptized into Christ, what they're doing is obeying what God has commanded. You know what that is? That's God's grace. Blotting out our sin. We're raised to walk in newness of life. But then I want you to think about the church is in the written gospel. And notice, if you will, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, as we talked about this morning, that the church is that which has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul was writing to Timothy, you'll remember that he says in verse 15, he said, if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, in Romans 16:16, he said that the churches of Christ greet you, salute you. And so I understand that this is the one designed by the wisdom of God. And it says in Ephesians 5:23 that Jesus is the Savior of the body. In Ephesians 1:22 and 23, it says that the body is the church. That's been written down. I can put my finger on that passage and say, that's exactly what God has said. But when it comes to worship, we've been told how to worship God. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, when the Apostle Peter was writing, He talks about that we are to be living stones. We're to be giving up, offering up spiritual sacrifices. Look at verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So I worship God according to what I find in the Bible, according to the New Testament pattern. When I put my finger on it, I say, this is what God has declared. I don't go beyond it. I have no right to go beyond it. In Ephesians 5:19, he talks about singing and making melody in your heart. I have no right to go beyond what he's written. But now I want you to think about others who preach unwritten things. And it's strange that God has a written gospel and has warned about rejecting the gospel of Christ, and yet there are many who prefer unwritten gospel, if you will, or an unwritten creed. In your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians and notice what he had to say about rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it's one of the most powerful statements in the divine Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do what? Not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. He said they've rejected the written gospel. But can I tell you tonight with all kindness and candor, there's a lot of people that reject it because they don't want to believe what God has said, because they prefer their feelings over what God has stated. Have you ever heard that some people believe the authority of human feelings is an appeal to the religious world? I'll tell you something. There have been people who say they wouldn't trade their feelings for a stack of Bibles. They accept their feelings. I want to tell you, my friend, you put your faith in God's Word and not in how you feel. If you put your faith in what God says, then you'll have a good feeling. There is where the feeling comes in. I rejoice because I'm listening to the Word of God. I don't go on just how I feel. I go on what the Bible says. And you think about in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, it says not to trust your own feelings. What does it say? It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way is destruction. The end is destruction. But then secondly, there's the unwritten creed of tradition. And that's what we talked about in Matthew 15. Notice, my friend, if we're not careful, we'll start to bind something that we hold personal. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. They said, why are you not getting onto your disciples for not washing their hands? And Jesus said, wait a minute. They are violating a tradition of yours. They're not violating the Word of God. Go back and notice that in Matthew 15. Notice that Jesus, the disciples said in verse, or the Pharisees say in verse 2, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Look at that, the tradition. And Jesus comes down and said, why do you transgress the commandment of God? There's a great difference there. You know, there may be preferences in life. And sometimes we need to be careful not to bind a preference. Now, when I preach, I like to wear a suit. But you know, my friend, I can't put my finger on the passage and say everyone's got to wear a suit. And some people may not like to wear a suit. And you know what? That's fine. Some people may look down, and we need to be careful lest we bind something we don't have biblical authority to bind. As long as I am dressed to come to worship, my friend, you'll find that is acceptable to God. And I'll tell you something, my friend. I know of a place one time a fellow wasn't wearing a tie and they wouldn't let him wait on the table. That's not right. Because I can't put my finger and say, oh, that's what God has said. But that brings up something else. We need to be careful of having the unwritten rule of the majority is always right. You know, some people say, just whatever the majority says, that's what we'll do. I want to tell you something. The majority is often wrong.
In fact, Jesus says that in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He said in Matthew 7, 13, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are the way that follow therein. But narrow is the way, and difficult is the way that leads to eternal life, and there are few that find it." And Moses said in Exodus 23, 2, not to follow a multitude to do evil. A majority vote on something wrong does not make it right. If that was true, we could elect a woman elder. But I read in my Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it says that the elder is to be the husband of one wife, not the wife of one husband. He gave us authority to have men in that role. But then think about something else. Some people hold the view that the good justifies the means. That as long as it ends in doing good, that's okay. But Jesus tells us that's not so. Look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who," watch it, "does the will of my Father in heaven." He said, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name. They preached, they did miracles.' And yet what does Jesus say? 'I will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You know what, my friend? There are some people that hold the view that as long as it's good, you can do it. But I want you to understand, we have to go by the pattern. We have to go by the written gospel. We can't just add anything we want and tack it onto the church. We have to go by what the Bible says. Some say it matters not what you believe, just so you believe. I want to know, my friend, it does matter what you believe. Because Jesus said, if you believe in me, what? You must not perish. If you believe, you'll obey. But then I want you to think about, my friend, you have the unwritten creed of the wisdom of men. Many just accept what smart people say about the Word of God. And I'll tell you something, I have some friends who are very intellectual, and I appreciate what they say, but sometimes they'll get on something, and they'll write to me, and I don't even know what they're talking about. And I'll tell you what I've learned. Sometimes some of us preachers want to impress people. And we want people to think that we're intelligent and we know the Greek and we know the Hebrew and we know this and we know that and we have all the answers. I want to tell you, my friend, there's a lot of things I just don't know. But the Word of God does, and I put my finger on it. There's a lot of things I just have to say, let me study that a little further. You know, I'll tell you something. Some of these preachers have hurt the faith of others because they're always talking about textual criticism. They're saying, should this passage belong here? They're talking about, should this belong here? They're asking and questioning certain things. And you know, my friend, my goal is to get people to believe in the Bible, not try to take them away from the Word of God. And so when you look at that, we need to make sure that we are not people who lead others away. But then, we have to be careful about the unwritten rule or creed that the elders are always right. Now, we have four men here who serve as elders, and I appreciate them. But I want us to understand, no matter who is an overseer, we need to remember that just because the elders say something's right, if it's in contrary with God's Word, that doesn't make it right. If someone said, the elder said, bring in the instrument, what would you say? Now, I believe our elders would do that for 1 minute because I believe they're trying to follow the written gospel. But I'll tell you something, my friend. There's been churches in Nashville, Tennessee that I know personally, and they just said to them, why are you doing it? Well, the elder said it was fine. Well, my friend, if the elder isn't following the chief shepherd, then he's not doing right either. The chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5 is Jesus. But then I want you to think about the advantage of the written gospel. We can know we are doing the Lord's will. Look in your Bible in the book of Luke in the first chapter.
When you come to the book of Luke in the first chapter, notice, if you will, kindly what is stated. In Luke chapter 1, look at what Luke says as he's talking to Theophilus. He said in verse 3, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, that from the very first to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." Isn't it wonderful to have the Bible and to know it? To know what God has revealed? And remember what he says in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, John is writing as he's concluding his book. And notice what he says in verse 30. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." You know, my friend, because we have the Bible, we can prove that which is right. We can say, this is what God has said. That's why in 1 John 4:1, he said, "Test the spirits." Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice what the Apostle Paul had to say here. He said, "Test all things," in verse 21. "Hold fast what is good." You know what we need to do? Accept the written gospel and reject unwritten creeds. I don't believe there would be anyone here who'd say we need to write a creed. But we need to be careful that we don't put one in that's just unwritten, but that we follow the written Word of God. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized upon your faith in Christ, Mark 16:16, don't reject what Jesus said. Jesus said, "He who that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Our prayers you'll obey as together we stand and sing.